I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. I'll ask you to just follow along silently as I read in your hearing. Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I have a parallel text I'm going to read. You can just listen. Matthew 9:13. Jesus said, But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Granddaughter Gwyneth, when she was in the first grade, she got in trouble. This other girl kept pushing her, bothering her. And so Gwyneth hauled off and slapped her. Well, the teacher had a little conversation with her. And she said, Now, Gwyneth, you have to be the new Gwyneth when you're at school. Not this old Gwyneth that slaps. So the news got to us that she had got in trouble. Kathy called, and she said, Grandma, I got in trouble at school, but you're talking to the new Gwynnie. Well, I'd like to say some things about becoming new through repentance. Becoming new through repentance. Now, repentance is defined by almost everyone as a change of mind. I like to add a change of mind that leads to a change of lifestyle. It's a whole new view of God. Repentance has a whole new view of self. Here's another good word. Repentance is siding with God against ourselves, or against our sin, if you would prefer. And Zacchaeus is referred to in the context here as a sinner. Jesus said he'd come to call, not call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So when one repents, when a sinner repents, he or she is siding with God against themselves. Some may be interested in this. I know it has been of great interest to me. There is somewhat of an association between providence and repentance. And the Greek word has a similar spelling, or has a similar suffix on it. What in the world, Tom, would there be in parallel with repentance and providence? Well, in providence, God looks ahead and he arranges everything for the future in the light of providence. Repentance, however, looks backward. And all of the past is rearranged as we turn to God and Christ. You see a little similarity or contrast there between the two. And so with the Lord's help, I'd like to use this New Testament text, Matthew 9:13, and illustrate it with another New Testament text. A New Testament text and a New Testament illustration. Now, I should explain. For several years, every now and then, the Lord has moved me to use a New Testament text with an Old Testament illustration. You know how full of illustrations the Old Testament is. And then I have preached an Old Testament text with a New Testament illustration. And in the last little while, I have preached an Old Testament text and an Old Testament illustration. This morning, I'm moving in another gear. I want to give you a New Testament text, Matthew 9:13, and a New Testament illustration. Zacchaeus is an illustration of repentance. You remember that verse that says that we are to repent, and our repentance is not to be repented of. That is, we're not sorry that we admitted how sorry we were before God. Repentance, not to be repented of. So I'd like to say three things, God helping me this morning on this subject of repentance. I want to begin by mentioning the appointment of repentance. This didn't just happen. Jesus purposefully went to Jericho. And purposefully, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Today I must abide at thy house." Then I would not only mention briefly the appointment of repentance, but I would say something about the attitude of repentance. True, genuine, bona fide repentance has a new concept of spiritual matters. Having now looked at God and self in a different way, there's a different attitude. Then I would mention not only the appointment of repentance and the attitude of repentance, but Jesus said, "This day is salvation come to this house." I would underline the affirmation of repentance. Now, that's my flight pattern. if somehow I don't make it to the landing strip, you can say on your way home, bless his heart, at least he told us what he had in mind. Let's begin with the appointment of repentance. Of course, this is nothing new to you, nor to me. We believe that God must bring us to repentance. You don't just wake up one morning, forgive my mountain lingo, and haul off and repent. No. God works it in us. And he brings us to a point. I'm referring to it as an appointment. The appointment of repentance. First of all, in verses 1-4, we have the circumstances of the appointed hour. Jesus is going through Jericho, and there's a tax collector, the chief one, we're told, the chief among the publicans, and a rich one, he was rich, by the name of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus had an interest in seeing Jesus, but he couldn't because he was so short. And so he climbed up in a sycamore tree, for he knew that was the way that Christ was passing through. The circumstances of the appointed hour of repentance changes the sinner's interest about Christ. And this happened very fast. Often God may take a long time in dealing with someone. But Zacchaeus had an interest. I want to see him. And he climbed up in the tree. And then Jesus saw him. Of course, he had seen him all the time. But the text says he looked up and saw him in the tree. God works circumstances in our lives to bring us to the appointed hour of repentance. Let's say someone on the job you work with has laughed and made fun or mocked. That's the crowd I worked with when I worked on second shift. When I'd read my testimony at break time and then pray over my food, boy, they would go at it. There was this one guy, when I would pray, "Hey, boys, did you see Hayes pray? Hayes, did you go to church this week?" "Yes, I did. I went to Sunday school. I went to church. I went back for Bible study, and I was there for church Sunday night 4 times. Hayes went to church 4 times, boys. What kind of no-no did you do last week that you had to go to church 4 times? Laughing, making fun. But then I remember a day when one of them said, "Tom, what's the name of that church where you go? Can you give me directions? What time is the service?" He had never shown an interest before, but you see, God was working in him and in his circumstances to bring him to that appointed hour of repentance. And I looked up while I was singing in the choir with the choir members, and here come that fella I worked with walking into church. If I'd had false teeth, they would have fallen out. I'm telling you, God knows how to work with all of us. He knows where we are in the tree. Have you ever been treed by divine grace? There you were. You're very easily seen. I'm talking about the circumstances. And Jesus is a part of these circumstances. Not only did Zacchaeus climb up in this tree to see Jesus, he showed interest that he had never shown before. But the Lord Jesus came to the very place where Zacchaeus was. And he looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." The Lord Jesus was there in that appointed hour to work in this man's life. You see, the Lord doesn't play with us. It isn't that he works with us till we get to this place and then turns away from us. No, 'tis grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. He comes in an appointed hour. One writer called it the imperatives of salvation. May I say, it was an imperative. Jesus said, I must abide at thy house. You know, there are several musts in the life of Christ. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 43, I must preach to other cities also. Here he said, I must abide at thy house. He is able to bring us to this imperative and connect with our needy hearts in the matter of salvation. The appointment of repentance. I'll not ask for a show of hands, but I wonder if the Lord has brought you to this place where you sense, I need to see him. I need to know him. I've heard others talk about him. I've heard the preacher preach about him. But I'm interested. The Lord has brought you to that point. May I say, he will meet you at that point as he did with Zacchaeus. Now, let's look at what transpired. Verse 6, the Bible says, and he that is Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Now, let's look at what I'm calling the attitude of repentance. The attitude of repentance. Oh, brother, there's a whole different attitude, a whole different spirit in Zacchaeus. He didn't say, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm the chief publican. Well, what did he do? He slid down that tree. He made haste and came down and received him, that is Christ, joyfully. I believe when God brings us to the point or to the appointment of repentance, he will revolutionize our attitude in repentance. Notice his attitude in the matter of reception. Now, I have talked to people and they've said, leave me alone. I will never receive Christ. I see no need to receive Christ. It's like I spoke to this fellow at a service station up in West Virginia. I said to him, are you a Christian? No. Real harshly. I said, the Lord can change your life. I don't want to change life. I don't want to be different. I said, well, he changed me and I'm grateful. And he drove off barking a little rubber. I think he got upset. I want to say, beloved, God is able to turn that rejecting spirit into a receiving spirit. I dare say there's some here this morning, you remember well when you avoided certain people. I don't want them talking to me. You're rejecting the gospel, rejecting Christ. But then came the day when the Holy Spirit so worked and brought you to a point of repentance that you were open and willing to receive Christ. Was it not the most glorious hour of your life when you received him? Then I want to underline not only this matter of reception. And by the way, Christ receiveth sinful men, the songwriter said, even me with all my sin. I've had this on my mind all week. I preached Wednesday night in a camp meeting over on the North Carolina-Tennessee line. And while preaching, this matter of receiving Christ became heavy in my spirit. It's one thing to come to church and to receive the 1, 2, 3s that the church goes through, and to receive the people. Of course, you understand, some people do not come to church for the gospel. They come to make contacts for their business. I had a barber tell me one time, I asked him, why did you leave that old church that you grew up in and were in so many years and went to the church you're now a member of? He got around in front of me and said, contacts, preacher boy, contacts. Well, I want to say God is able to cause all that to fade out, and you feel your need, the necessity of coming to Christ, receiving Christ. And he came down the tree in haste and received him joyfully. Could I encourage someone today to come to Christ now, while the Holy Spirit is wooing your heart? Make haste and come down and receive him joyfully. Joyfully. You know, I've met some people in church, they act like that coming to church and supposedly becoming a Christian was the worst thing they ever did. Wish he'd hurry up. Why'd they sing so many songs? And then he read 2 different parts of the Bible. Don't you think one's enough? And they have that rejecting attitude. Ah, brother. Make haste and come down and receive him joyfully. Joyfully. You'll notice not only the attitude of repentance in the matter of reception, he received him joyfully, but in verse number 8, after some of the religious leaders murmured and they said negatively that Jesus is going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Well, everybody knew that the tax collectors took more, they dipped in and got more than the people owed. And the chief tax collector, he'd been doing it a long time. And they said, he's a sinner. Everybody knows he's a sinner. And Jesus went to eat with this man who's a sinner. By the way, the sinner may not invite you, but you could invite the sinner. Why don't you come over to our house and eat Friday night, you and your wife? Or let me take you out to supper after work. There's a way that we can move into a little opening and point people to the Lord Jesus. Oh, that we might do it more. Well, we've got the message. We've got the truth. We know Christ. Let us tell others who may be sinners. Somebody said, well, I can't believe that Christian was sitting in that restaurant with that sinner. Why, it may be the greatest thing that ever happened. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, verse 8, here's a second aspect of the attitude of repentance. And he said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now, he knew he had done wrong. You ever heard this in church? Somebody get up and say, if I've done anybody wrong, I'm sorry. That's not exactly what Zacchaeus is saying. He said, I'll restore and I'll give to the poor. There's a work of grace that's happened in this man's heart. And so we see the attitude of repentance not only in the matter of reception, but in the matter of restitution. He's going to make things right in the public's eye. There's going to be evidences of salvation in this man's life. In this area of restitution, I was in a large church when I was in Bible college, and this woman came forward, and the personal workers tried to sideline her, but she wasn't going to be sidelined. She came to do business that Sunday morning, probably about, I'd say, 2,500 people, 3,000 people. Right in front of everybody, she called the pastor's name. She said, "Pastor, I've come to make restitution this morning." And she is just a country gal. You could hear it in her voice. "I've come to make restitution, preacher, this morning." And he tried to hurry her on. And she said, "And I want you to forgive me. I've had bad feelings towards you. And what happened between me and this church years ago, I want to make it right. I want to make restitution." Well, here's Forrest. How many of our church will accept our sister's desire for forgiveness and to make restitution? Of course, everybody raised their hands. I want to tell you, there's something about true blue repentance. You want to do right. You want to do good. Somebody said, "I live the way I want to live." Boy, that doesn't sound like repentance, does it? No. This illustration of repentance in the life of Zacchaeus not only reminds us of the appointment of repentance, but the attitude of repentance. Now, let's come to the last emphasis in verse number 9. "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham." I'm calling this the affirmation of repentance. There was affirmation. There was assurance. Jesus says this happened because of intervention. Again, you don't just decide you're going to do better or decide you're going to go back and pay that fellow that you stole from. It took me several weeks before I finally went back to the store that I'd stolen so many candy bars and so many jars of tobacco and so many drinks out of the back and walked out the back door without paying for it. It took me several weeks before I went in. And old Charlie said, "What can I do for you, Tom?" I said, "I've come to be honest with you." He stopped what he was doing and said, "To be honest with me about what?" I said, "Charlie, I have no idea how much I have stolen from this store over the years. But you heard, I guess, that I got right with the Lord." He said, "I heard that." I said, "Well, here's what I'll do. I'll try to pay you $5 a week. With my little old income, I'll pay you $5 a week until I get all this paid." I said, "I'm not sure how much it'll be." He said, "Just forget it. You've already paid me in that you'd come in here and confess it." I want to tell you, beloved, God is able to work receptivity in us and restitution in us. Jesus affirmed that something divine had taken place. Intervention has taken place. This day is salvation. Come to this house. And by the way, you may try to give yourself assurance or affirmation. Somebody may underline a verse of scripture and you're hanging on to that. Or somebody may say, "I heard you were saved." And that may encourage you. But I'm going to tell you, the real assurance comes when Jesus speaks sweet peace to your soul. And Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "This day, boy, salvation has come to this house." The affirmation of an intervention. And then there was the affirmation of his identification. Jesus said, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Now, many of the writers believe that Zacchaeus had been accused of being a Gentile because he was taking tax money from his own people. They hated him. And so perhaps there was a rumor. We don't know. But Jesus said, I just want y'all to know he's a son of Abraham. He's a Jew. And salvation has come to this house. And then he said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jews, Gentiles, male, female, all kinds of sinners, the Lord Jesus came to save. I'm talking about an affirmation of repentance. I got to tell this little story about my dad. My dad, he got a little confused in the late years of life, uncertain about things. He got upset about our pastor and he left our church. Well, he was raised over here, I guess it would be the north side, northwest side, northeast side of Pickens. Some of the folks, is it Fairfield Church over in that area? I can't remember anyhow. He knew some of them. He was kin to some of them. So he came down to Pickens County to go to church. He waddled around the different churches. Said he found one or two he liked. And one Sunday, and we had given up in trying to chase him. We finally had to get his keys taken from him, or we took them from him. That was a big, monumental task, as some of you know. At any rate, a friend saw him. Instead of going back home towards Saluda, he turned left and went through Pickens and headed out towards 11 again. Got on Highway 11, my friend's chasing him. He said Tommy was going fast. And I got to chasing him. I finally caught him way on down 11. And he turned him towards home. He said, Mr. Hayes, you're going the wrong direction. You need to be going back up 11, not down 11. Here's my thought. My dad went the wrong way, and my friend chased him down and turned him towards home. May I say, that's the way all of us. We were headed in the wrong direction. And we were going towards hell at a breakneck speed. But somehow, in God's mercy and grace, he had an appointment for us and he chased us down and turned us the right way. Genuine repentance. One last thought. I love this idea. It's not original with me. But in this same chapter of Luke 19, later in the chapter, we have the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. One author called this scene, Jesus going to Zacchaeus' house, the triumphal entry into Jericho. Well, he certainly triumphed over sin and self and this world in that he brought Zacchaeus to salvation. My concluding word this morning is, do you know anything about true repentance as it's been illustrated here? Biblical repentance. God brings us to that point. God works a change of attitude in our hearts and lives. And then Christ affirms that the work has been done. Today, salvation has come to this house. You've been very kind and gracious. Thank you for your attention and your prayers. Would you stand with me, please? Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed.